Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And welcome to Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, and I am here with one of my dearest friends, Mark Thallender. Welcome, Mark. It is so good to have you.
It's an honor to be here.
Oh, my gosh. It's just great. I am so happy you are here. Mark was the organist, was one of the producers. He was one of everything here at Crystal Cathedral from 76 to 93. Wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time. That's, yes.
And you still look like you're 20. Where did I go wrong?
Aren't you sweet?
I don't know how this works, you know. Anyway, I am so happy you're here. Mark has a foundation. We're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about his days here at the Crystal Cathedral and all that he did. He has a whole new life at playing duets all over the country, and you have music published. You have recordings, and we're going to hear a lot of that music today on the show. I am just thrilled you're here. Thank you so much
for
being with us. Well, I often start at the very beginning, my friend. I think our radio listeners love to know how somebody gets into music. I think it's fascinating, and often the stories lead to church or lead to when the first time you discovered the organ. Or tell us a little bit, but did you have a musical family? Tell us some of the ways that led you to be this world-renowned musician.
Well, I think it all started when my mother was 12 years old. She was on a farm in North Dakota. She was to have her first piano lesson and was out on a horse getting the cows in, fell off the horse and broke her leg. She never had her first piano lesson.
Oh, no.
But when I was conceived, she and her church pianist prayed for that nine-month period that I would become a church musician.
Okay. Well, it worked, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
You not only became a church musician, you went right to the top. What we're going to hear, what led you to the top. So when did you begin the piano?
Well, when I was in fifth grade, my parents somehow won an organ for a month with four free lessons.
Wow.
And so I took those four lessons and came home from school one day, and of course the organ was gone. And I was very sad.
The month was over?
The month was over.
Oh, no.
And the next day I came home, and there was a Baldwin Acrisonic piano. And I started studying piano, and I was so excited.
Oh, my gosh. That's fabulous.
Yes.
So from fifth grade. And when did you go back to the organ?
We attended a small church in Stockton, California, and the organist, who was a volunteer, was going to Hawaii for 2 weeks. And the pastor said to her, "I think if you give Mark a few lessons, he can play that Hammond organ while you're away."
Wow.
And I did. And then when I was a junior in college, I was going through the process of registering for classes, and Sandra Soderlund said to me, "You can take another class, a one-unit class, for the same amount of money. Have you ever thought about studying the organ?" Well, she was the organ professor, and I said, "Well, yes, put me down." So it was just that one question.
And where was this college?
This was at Simpson College in San Francisco, which is now Simpson University in Redding.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you really grew up in Stockton, where I went to school at the University of Pacific. You knew Dr. Schilling, my teacher.
Yes.
And Inez Pope. We were just talking about her before
exactly.
the podcast. Who is now still playing at the First Methodist Church right across the street
yes.
at the university.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. She's like 90 years old.
In her 90s.
Still
yes.
playing away.
Exactly.
On that huge Austin. They had a big Austin.
Actually, now they have a huge Rogers organ.
Really? What mm-hmm. happened to the Austin?
The Austin, for some reason, was removed.
Wow.
Yes, and Frederick Swan did the dedication.
Oh, for heaven's
yes.
sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that church was sort of modern, very modern. I remember seeing
yes.
it across the way. So you, did your family, you weren't born in Stockton?
I was born in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay.
And then we moved to Pittsburgh, California for 2 years. Then I went back to Fargo, North Dakota for kindergarten. And then we moved to Stockton.
Wow. So your musical life began in Stockton.
That's correct.
Very cool. And so in college, how were those organ lessons? Did you do well?
I was
apparently
taking 18 units each semester, and I was at a church where I had an adult choir, a youth choir, and a children's choir. So I would say that my organ practice time
was a little bit limited.
Yes, yes.
But you were working in church already.
Yes.
As the parish musician?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Playing mostly piano, though, or the organ as well?
Mostly organ, but also conducting. I had another accompanist for the choirs.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so after college, what happened?
Well, after college, I actually graduated from Southern California College in Costa Mesa, California, which is now Vanguard University. And I did my master's degree at California State University, Long Beach. And I began teaching part-time at Southern California College.
And what were your degrees in?
I have a bachelor's degree in humanities and a master of arts in music.
And was the organ still your primary instrument?
The organ was, yes, in my master's degree, yes. And then I began studying with Cherry Rhodes at USC and began taking some doctoral courses in sacred music. And a professor friend of mine in Costa Mesa, whose mother was coming to visit from North Dakota, wanted to come to what was then Garden Grove Community Church.
Uh-huh.
So we came to a Sunday evening service here, and somehow I got on the mailing list. And every week I received the community church news. And one night I came back from USC, stacked with books in my arms, got my mail, put it under my chin, walked up four flights of stairs to my apartment, and went to bed. And wouldn't you know, I couldn't go to sleep. And finally, at 2 a.m., I woke up, and I saw the community church news. And I thought, well, I'll just read that. And there was two lines in it that said music ministry assistant, and gave the phone number, a full-time position.
Wow.
So I called the number, came in for an interview with Don Fontana, who was the minister of music then. And Mrs. Schuler came in, and they called me that Saturday morning and said, you have the job.
Wow.
So I came to a position that I was really not intending to have, because I was teaching part-time and working on my doctorate. And all of a sudden, I had this new full-time position, and I thought, well, I'll stay maybe 3 months. I'll consider it an internship, and I'll learn a lot there, and then I'll move on.
And who was the principal organist at that time?
Richard Unfried was there.
Okay.
Yes.
Richard's been on our program already.
Exactly.
Well, and you were still in the Arboretum at that time. There was no Crystal Cathedral?
No Crystal Cathedral.
And playing, was it the Wicks or was it the Rafati?
Actually, when I came here, there was an Allen.
Oh, okay.
It was in between the Wicks and the
All
Rafati.
All right, in between. And when Richard was on the show, he said, well, we had a Rogers. They saw that on TV. Somebody bought it. Then we had an Allen. Somebody bought that.
Yes.
Then we had another Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the popularity of that TV show. And did you play on the show?
I did, yes, a few times in the Arboretum and then more often in the Crystal Cathedral.
Once they moved into the Crystal Cathedral, where we're going to hear a lot more about that in our next segment. But I think we should hear a little bit of music.
Excellent.
Let's talk about what you're going to play, one of the pieces that you recorded in the Crystal Cathedral. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think we're moving into How Great Thou Art.
I think we are.
And the reason I selected this is because my father's parents came from Sweden, and my mother's parents came from Norway, and I'm half Swedish and half Norwegian, and I thought it would be appropriate to use this Swedish tune when we talked about my parents and about Stockton.
And this was recorded on Hazel, right?
On the Hazel Wright organ, and was for a Sunday morning service in the Crystal Cathedral, probably about a year before they moved down the street to Shepherd's Grove.
And this is on a CD called Triumphant Tunes and Toccatas?
Correct.
Wow. And we'll make sure that on our website, Christ Cathedral Music, there's a link to that so that folks can find that CD on your website, markthounder.com. So we'll make sure that everybody can hear all that. And, of course, you can always hear the full recording on our website, Christ Cathedral Music. But here's a little bit of How Great Thou Art is the tune, the text we most often associate with that wonderful Swedish tune.
Excellent.
This is Mark at the Hazel Wright Organ, and we'll be right back. Thank you. back. This is Music from the Tower, and our esteemed guest today is Mark Thallender. Welcome back, Mark. Thank you for this beautiful music that we're listening to. Tell us what it is.
Well, this is a piece called Postlude on Old Hundredth by Fred Bock, B-O-C-K. Now, when I was on the staff here, we did many pieces by Fred Bock, choral pieces and organ pieces, and he was at the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood. And you would be interested to know that the first summer we had the Hazel Wright organ here, he actually came and played some of the Sunday morning services for us.
Wow, okay.
And Fred Bock and his wife Lois are dear friends of mine. And Fred also has a piece called Praise God, which is based on this arrangement for choral music. And this piece was arranged by Fred at the request of a bride for a wedding recessional.
Well, and this piece you are playing on the Hazel Wright organ.
That's correct.
You're actually performing.
Yes.
So let's talk about your time. Everybody wants to know what it was like to be a musician here at the Crystal Cathedral. Certainly this old boy who's now the musician at Christ Cathedral loves to know all of the history of what happened here. We had some of the most famous musicians in the world. Richard Unfried, you, and Fred Swan, I mean, and later Chris Bardini, all these wonderful musicians right here on staff. Tell us some of the things you did. So you started in the Arboretum. You were the organist there.
Started in the Arboretum. When I came on staff, it was music ministry assistant, which included doing all of the timings for the Hour of Power music.
Those had a lot to do with TV.
It had a lot to do with television and also the choir room, which is now your women's restroom.
Isn't that great?
Which is a lovely women's restroom,
apparently.
I'm told. Yes.
Yes.
had an organ in it. And because I had to time the anthems, time the introductions and the interludes.
So you just sit and play through them? And
I just went through with my stopwatch and played them. And the staff heard that I was playing the organ and said, oh, would you like to play the Sunday evening service this Sunday night? And I said, well, I would be happy to. And then I just continued on, and eventually something was published for our annual church music conference, and it listed me as assistant organist.
Wow.
And that's the first time I knew I was.
Well, that's a good way to find out, in print somewhere else. I hope you got a big pay raise right then and there. But it sounds like that you were playing the Sunday night service.
Correct.
But you played once in a while on Sunday morning as well?
Yes.
And by now, Richard and Fred are here as you move into the Crystal.
The first time I played on Sunday morning, Richard was here, and it was in the Arboretum. And then eventually we moved into the Crystal Cathedral, and then Fred Swan became part of the staff in the fall of 1982 and full-time in the spring of 83.
And there you were, playing with Fred Swan. What did that feel like? I would have been a nervous wreck.
Well, it was pretty awesome. And I'll tell you, the best teachers are when you're able to sit under people like Richard Unfried and Frederick Swan.
I
listen to them play services week after week.
Right, watching the combination of stops and just the way, especially Fred, conducted from the console.
Exactly.
Right? So see what he's including and what he's not, and how's his hands working?
Yes. And finding out what memory they used for what piece, and then sneaking back in. Looking at the generals.
Every mm-hmm. guest we have that comes to play, including Fred, we just had Johann Vexo. I can't wait till the day they leave and go back and see what those combinations were. Because you think, you're listening and you think, wait a minute, I play this organ every single week. I don't know what that sound is. What sound is that?
Exactly.
What a cool learning curve that must have been to be with them. And were you still doing production things?
Yes, I continued that the whole time.
Wow.
Yes, yes. And also, speaking of production, when we moved into the Crystal Cathedral, that was quite a production, because at that time we had about 25 choral and instrumental ensembles. We had 7 handbell choirs.
But you only, how many services a weekend did you have?
We could have had 6 Sunday services, and then when the Hispanic ministry began, we would have had 7.
Wow. So you really needed all these ensembles.
Exactly. And then when we did the pageants, at Christmas, we would have as many as 100 Glory of Christmas pageants, and then the Glory of Easter with all the additional services during Holy Week, we needed a staff of three or four organists to
yes,
be able to take care of everything.
To help
yes,
those productions.
But I
want
to tell
what
you,
people remember is all of those productions.
Yes, yes. And when we moved into the Crystal Cathedral, we measured about 900 people for choir robes.
Wow!
Kindergarten through senior adult.
Wow!
And that was our first production in the Crystal Cathedral, which then moved into the pageants.
I can't imagine. I mean, that's just huge. And every time you'd see it on TV, there'd be all of these people, every seat filled. Were there extra people that you'd bring in? I mean, you had more singers, like when we were talking to John Alexander. Pacific Chorale's about 175, and they use 140 each week to make sure it's all always filled. How did it work to keep all the singers there and memorizing their music? And
yes, yes. There was a time when we were preparing to move into the Crystal Cathedral where we had about 130 people in the Hour of Power choir, and we had seating maybe for 105. So everyone came on Sunday morning, and if there was someone who was ill or was called out of town, then those people were pulled in to be in the choir, and if there was no room for them, then they worshiped in the congregation, because we felt it was important for them to see what the congregation saw in the
yes.
loft.
Oh, that's a great, brilliant. Yeah, that's a really good, you know, we've just begun to broadcast our services, our 9:30 morning English Mass on Sunday. And I've been watching like a hawk at these broadcasts to see who looks like what. And, you know, gosh, we've learned all sorts of things about TV as we begin to, you know, think about broadcasting from the cathedral once we get there. But just our little simulcasts on Sunday morning have taught us a lot about microphones and, you know, what people look like and how you see people talking and, you know, drinking water bottles and, you know, all of these things that you kind of were relaxed about. Now that it's on TV, that's a whole different
practicing
world.
The anthem in the mirror on Saturday night to see what you look like and what you're communicating. Are you communicating facially what's in your heart?
Yes.
We would have new choir members come in. They were so filled with joy to be in the choir. Then they saw themselves on TV and said, that joy was not showing on my face.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother deal, isn't it? You know, now you're singing a joy-filled anthem, but your face doesn't say it. Or, you know, you might be so concentrating.
And you think I'm a part of 100 people, but then the camera picks you.
You.
And it's a solo.
I know. I'm looking at, I was watching the lector read the reading, but yet two of the tenors were in that same shot where the camera was, you know. And so there they are. You know, there's no way to hide while that whole reading is going on. You can't move. You're just in the sight of the camera. So many things about TV services. And you guys were the masters. It broadcast all over the world.
And the choir was so well trained that in the Arboretum one Sunday morning, we had a streaker who ran all the way along the fountains. The congregation could only see the back of him, but the choir could see the front.
Oh, my gosh.
And they sat there as if nothing was happening.
Wow. Wow. Christ Cathedral Choir has a lot to learn here. We've got to start practicing right away. That's the trouble with being in glass buildings, isn't it?
Exactly.
You can have all sorts of wild things. You know, I see people wandering by the fountains during the Mass, and I'm thinking, and, you know, their kids are peering in the window, and some kid's got a lollipop up against the glass. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy things happening outside.
And we used to have an outdoor congregation.
Right.
So there were chairs set up out there and there were ushers. So we didn't really deal with that type of thing because it was a more controlled situation outside.
It's really part of the church,
right?
Wasn't it? Inside,
mm-hmm.
outside, people in cars.
Right.
And once you moved into the Crystal Cathedral, then that part went away, right? It was just all in the building.
It was all inside, except we still had the drive-in congregation. And when the big 90-foot doors would open, that would open to the drive-in sanctuary.
So there was still drive-in even at that time after the... And how long did that last?
It lasted the whole time that I was here.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was
that's
on the
totally
radio.
News.
You tuned it in on your radio.
Right.
Originally, you put a speaker on your
car. Like the old driving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it just sounds like such a fascinating time. And I can't imagine how cool it would be to be here with Richard and with Fred and, you know, these amazing musicians that all of us watched on TV. And there you were, right with them. How lucky, how lucky, how lucky.
Exactly.
And, of course,
blessed.
Playing some of the greatest organs in the world in the Arboretum and later in the Crystal Cathedral. Well, let's hear another piece. This is your Toccata on Hymn to Joy. This is you playing again, right?
This is me playing again, and this is a recording from the 20th anniversary celebration recital of the Hazelwright organ.
Oh, wonderful. And is this your composition?
It is. Yes.
Oh, fabulous. All right, here we are, folks. Toccata on Hymn to Joy, which, of course, is that wonderful hymn, Joyful, Joyful, the Beethoven melody that we know. And we will be right back with a lot more from Mark Vallander. Please stay tuned. Music from the Tower, you're listening to a piece called Festive Fidelis. This is something from The Glory of Christmas, right, Mark?
The Glory of Christmas, the original music was composed and arranged by Bob Krogstad, who I met in Springfield, Missouri when I was in college.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. He was in high school, and he was such a talented musician. And when The Glory of Christmas was going to be presented, Bob Krogstad was called upon to do the arrangement.
And he wrote all of the arrangements?
All of the arrangements for the original Glory of Christmas.
The orchestral parts and everything?
Yes, they were recorded by the London Symphony.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, how did Robert Schuller get the London Symphony involved in that? The cost must have been amazing.
Well, that's a good question, yes. But I will say that the Glory of Christmas, we did pageants three times a night from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve.
About 100 shows a season?
Yes, 4:30, 6:30, and 8:30.
Radio City has nothing on you, that's for sure. Holy cow.
And with the ticket sales, I would say that probably paid for the London Symphony.
Probably, mm-hmm. I guess. Because how many seats? You know, a couple thousand each,
right.
each performance.
Right.
Now tell us about the musicians who were there. You had some things recorded, some things live.
Yes, we had quite a few Herald trumpeters that would be in the balconies. And we had
live musicians.
They were live.
They're playing all three shows.
Yes. And then we had a harpist, and we had all of the vocalists, the soloists, were live.
But the choir was pre-recorded. The London Symphony accompaniments were all pre-recorded.
Right. And there were occasional years when we did have portions of the choir there.
But what about the organ? The organ was live, right?
The organ was live.
All right.
And I will tell you, we did have all of the organ parts pre-recorded.
Just in
case something happened, or with the organist schedule, in case an organist got caught in traffic or something, the organ prelude could be played without the organist there.
So it sort of started with the organ.
It started with the organ and ended with the organ, yes.
And was this Festive Fidelis that we just enjoyed part of that?
Festive Fidelis is part of a commercial CD that Bob Krogstad did that included a portion of his arrangement for the Glory of Christmas. But we didn't do this full arrangement in the pageant, but he did it on his CD.
And that CD is called God of Grace, right?
That CD those two pieces are on a CD of mine called God of Grace, but originally it was on a Christmas CD that was a Christmas cantata.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure we have links to those so our folks can enjoy the full cut of that.
Excellent.
All of that is just fascinating to me. I can't imagine those huge productions. And of course, everybody's got funny stories about the animals, and Fred Swan talks about all the camels and all the, you know, we even have a place in the back where all these animals used to be stored. It's just unbelievable.
We called it Jungle Ministry.
Yes. And the choir was moved to the back. They used the second console.
Right.
Because the whole front was staging, right?
Exactly.
And that would stay that way even on the Sundays.
On Sundays, yes, and for the glory of Easter also.
Right. So it was two huge seasons a year. How many glory of Easters were there?
That would be probably 3 weeks.
Wow. I can't imagine. Just asking Father Christopher to book the Arboretum right now in the cathedral later for one little afternoon concert is like a miracle to happen. I can't imagine being shut down really for all those weeks with all of that.
Well, grateful that we had 2 5 manual consoles. Originally, the 4 manual Rafati from the Arboretum was moved over to the south balcony, and then we got the new 5 manual console. So everything was available on both consoles.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're so grateful. Matter of fact, that console's in Italy right now as we speak, being refurbished. And that's the last piece of Hazel to be sent back. Then the whole organ will be back here in Orange County.
And she will return in all of her glory.
Oh, my gosh. None of us can wait, you know.
Resplendent.
It is going to be amazing. Probably better than it's ever been, because it's all, at least for a little while, is going to be functioning beautifully. We're just thrilled. We can't wait. And we're so pleased to have Hazel coming back the way it's going to happen. Well, my friend, you are not only the famous organist from Crystal Cathedral, but you are a famous organist because of the tragic accident that you were involved in way back in 2003. Mark, you were in a car accident. You lost an arm. Now, I can't imagine what that must have felt like and what that was like as an organist to lose part of your, did you just think that's it, career over, life over? I can't imagine what that process was like for you. But let me tell you, you have turned it into one of the greatest things going. The Mark Thallender Foundation has brought thousands of people to music, thousands of young people and children into the sacred music, and it produces festivals. You help young students make their way, future organists, to be educated. All of the great things. Tell us about this foundation, Mark, and how did you come to that?
Well, after the accident and I came back to California, there were some friends that were concerned about some of the bills that needed to be paid. And so there were 2 benefit concerts held for me. One was a keyboard benefit at the Crystal Cathedral that was coordinated by Christopher Pardini and Joyce Jones.
Wow.
And then at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena, there was a choral festival held.
Because you would work there.
Correct, yes. And about 800 singers showed up to sing.
Oh, I see.
And I think total there might have been 3,800 people in attendance. And it was such a wonderful evening that when the committee met to debrief, they invited me to come to that meeting and said, maybe we found a need and filled it for the Southern California area. There was so much love and so much glorious music making in that room. And so they decided they would have 2 more festivals and we would form a foundation, a nonprofit. And so we called Anton Armstrong at St. Olaf College to see if he could do the first one, and Weston Noble from Luther College to see if he would do the second. And
well,
they both said
right
yes.
Well, let's go to the top, Mark.
Yes.
You went to the 2 top conductors anywhere around.
And we were only going to do 2 festivals.
Well,
that was
that
the goal.
That certainly changed, didn't
and
it?
And now we've done over 30.
Oh, my gosh. And we are very excited to say there's going to be one back here at Christ Cathedral after all these years.
Yes. Looking forward to that.
Oh, we can't wait. It's going to be in 2019.
Yes.
In October. And we're
October 27th.
We're just thrilled about it coming back to the cathedral, and hope it's an annual thing for us every single year. You and I are going to have to powwow about just who that conductor is going to be, but you've just had one recently with Mac Wilberg from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yes.
You've had John Rutter. You've had just one great conductor.
Paul Solomonovich.
Paul Solomonovich. Mm-hmm. We did a whole show on our dear friend Paul just a few weeks ago, and so many great conductors. But what that does, I had my singers come just a few weeks ago and months ago, I guess now, and sing with John Rutter. They'll never forget it. You know, they were in the L.A. Cathedral, and we were singing with John Rutter, and those are all the outgrowths of your festivals, your foundation.
And I might mention that if people are interested in viewing the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels festivals, the John Rutter Festival is on YouTube.
Okay, we'll make sure that there's a link to that, but the festivals are amazing. You know, just spending the day with that, getting a window into these great conductors, learning the music ahead of time, coming there. But then the proceeds from that festival go far, far beyond just the day of the festival, don't they?
Yes, we tithe every festival offering to the Organ Scholarship Funds, and then the offerings go to pay expenses of that festival and serve as seed money for the next festival.
And so do you have a sense of how many young artists you've helped through this foundation?
I have not counted recently. But I can tell you that our John Rutter Festival had 1,100 adult singers and 400 children.
Wow. And how about the number of organists you've helped? How many scholarships have you been?
Well, we established an endowed scholarship at Glendale College in Glendale, California, which is the first organ scholarship at any community college in the state.
Wow.
And that scholarship was just awarded this year, and that student is studying from the Mark Thalender Foundation Organ Scholarship. And the second scholarship we are in the process of establishing at Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri.
Which is the place you attended?
Yes, I'm an alumnus of that school.
And you're also on the faculty there?
I was at one time, yes. And so that scholarship is pretty close to being funded.
Wow.
We felt it would be best to establish endowed scholarships that could be used every year from the interest.
Well, Mark, you took this tragic, tragic event that all of us sort of were horrified at because we all knew you from television. We all knew you from your work at the Crystal Cathedral. It was a sad day for every organist everywhere. And you took that and turned it into one of the greatest things. You know, you reinvented not only yourself, but such a gift to everyone, a gift to the singers, to the young organists. And we're happy to say that you're also still playing, and we're going to find out more about that and just the future for Mark Thalender. But first, we have to hear some more music. We're going to hear O For a Thousand Tongues. Tell us about this piece.
Well, when I was recovering from my amputation, I felt that I would never play again. And a former youth pastor from the Crystal Cathedral came to see me, and he said, "You will play again." So the next morning when I woke up, I had this arrangement in my mind. This was in Maine, and when I came back to California, a television station wanted to interview me. So they came to the organ, and they said, "We want to see how you would take a piece of music and put the left-hand part in the right hand, or put the left-hand part in your pedals." So I took the Bach Prelude in G major, and I gave that as an example. And then when the television team left, I continued working on it, so I incorporated a portion of that piece into the setting of O For a Thousand Tongues. And so this was kind of put together the few months that followed the accident.
All right, and we will be listening to that, and we will be right back with a lot more about the future of this amazing young organist. Stay tuned. back with our final segment with our friend Mark Fallander. Mark, I just can't imagine what it was like recovering from such an accident. Tell us a little bit about what brought you back to the organ.
Well, there were two things that happened. First of all, the night of my accident, my father also had an accident. He fell and broke his hip.
Oh, my goodness.
He did not recover, and I listened to his funeral from my hospital bed in Maine.
Oh, Mark.
From Stockton, California.
Oh.
And when I was coming back to California, there was going to be a memorial service, and I was requested to play at it. And I thought, I can't play a solo, but perhaps I can play a duet. And so the organist from St. John's Episcopal Church in Stockton and I, and along with Inez Pope, worked it out so that at First Baptist Church in Stockton, I could play this Praise to the Lord duet by Michael Burkhart, originally for four hands and 4 feet, and we arranged it for three hands and 4 feet. And the recording you just heard was me playing it with a former organist here, Sean Groombridge, which we did one Sunday morning. Another thing that happened to me was when I was in Maine, I received a composition in the mail from Charles Callahan for Right Hand and Pedals. And I thought, if he would take time to compose a piece for me, I'm going to walk down the street to the Ogunquit Baptist Church and see if I can play it.
You better get practicing, right?
I better get practicing, yes.
Well, Charles Callahan, for those of you out in radio land, is certainly one of the most prolific and finest composers in America. I'm honored to say he wrote a piece for me and my son for organ and flute. He's written a piece for Karen and I, dedicated to Karen and I, my wife and I, on a hymn tune. And Charles is just the dearest, sweetest man in the whole world. And for him to take the time to write you a piece was a way to say, Mark, get back to the organ. And we are all grateful that he did.
And I had so much prayer support. And as you know, I was so grounded in possibility thinking that I could only move forward. I could not move backward.
Well, and you have. Now you're playing all over the place. Tell us where some of your concerts are coming up.
Well, we have a number of duet concerts coming up with Andrew McKeon, who's from
also
Long Island.
Your friend, yes.
And we are playing at the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels in Los Angeles.
Right here in L.A.
St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
Well, sure, hit all the big spots.
Basilica of St. Peter's and Paul's in Lewiston, Maine. And ending at Trinity Church, Copley Square in Boston.
Wow, every great church in America.
Isn't that exciting?
It's very exciting. What are you and Andrew playing? Can you give us a little taste of what's coming?
Yes, we are playing several Charlie Callahan pieces. We're playing his Evensong.
Oh, that's a beautiful.
We're playing a piece that he wrote for three hands and pedals.
Now, was that the piece you premiered at the St. Louis Cathedral?
Yes, that's correct. And that festival of voluntary, based on five hymn tunes, we're playing Michael Burkhart's five movements of Praise to the Lord the Almighty. And then I'll be playing my signature piece, Toccata on Hymn to Joy. And then Andrew has decided that he'll be playing one of the Mark Fallander hymn arrangements as well. I think he's going to play Fantasy on Heifetal, because he loves that tune.
Oh, it sounds like a fantastic concert. We'll have to make sure that we have the little links to the website so that everybody in all of those great cities can be sure to hear both of you. I can't wait. It's going to be an amazing performance. And some of these duets, nothing's published yet, though, right?
All of those duets are published.
Okay.
Yes, yes. The Burkhart piece is published, and the two Callahan pieces we're doing are published.
Even the Callahan piece that was written at the St. Louis Cathedral, is that now published?
That is published, yes. However, the suite for Right Hand and Pedals, I don't believe that original one that he wrote for me when I was in outpatient therapy is published yet. I'll have to check on that.
We'll get that published.
Yes, yes.
If that's the piece that brought you back to playing the organ, that's a piece
exactly
all of us want to play.
And by the way, the third movement called Meditation, I called him and I said, I can't play this. This calls for two hands. And he said, oh, I figured you'd have a page turner that could play the right hand part, and you could play the left hand part with your right hand.
Isn't that
and
great?
So it worked fine. And it also, you'll be interested to know, works very well with flute. And you said your son is a flutist.
Yes, my son's a flute
player.
All right, so we got to get that piece published, my friend.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, well, everything Charlie touches is, he wrote a beautiful a concerto for orchestra when we rededicated that organ in St. Louis. It's a beautiful four-movement symphony for organ and orchestra. And he had the brass in the back balcony, and, I mean, he used the space so well that I'm hoping to redo that piece when we dedicate Hazel. I'd love to get that piece performed again.
And hopefully he can attend.
Oh, and not just attend. I'm going to put him to work. I played it the first time. It's about time he plays it the next time. I just love Charlie, and what a dear, dear man. He certainly helped me do that, redo that organ. He was the consultant for that great organ in the cathedral in St. Louis during all my days there. And he even went in the dead of night and got those alien Skinner pipes that are now in the crossing there, just beautiful pipework that we were so fortunate to have. Well, I think that you are, between your festivals and your foundation and your music and your now concerts, duet concerts, what's next? What else haven't you done, my friend, that you're going to, what are you looking forward to doing next?
Well, we just keep on keeping on. I have, with my choral writing partner, Bruce Wilkin, from First Baptist Church in Tulsa, we have two new choral settings coming out in 2018, one on And Can It Be, and another called Rejoice, which was written for the 10th anniversary of the Central United Methodist Church in Stockton. Sorry, for the 50th anniversary of them being in their sanctuary, and for the 10th anniversary of the Mark Thallender Foundation.
Wow. Well, we are so thrilled that that festival is coming back to Christ Cathedral in just a few years. If we could just hurry up and get this place opened,
exactly,
we could host you.
Well, there are exciting events in 2019 with the American Guild of Organists coming in the summer.
Yes, it's going to be a thrilling year for us here. The dedication of the cathedral, the American Guild of Organists convention is coming to Orange County. The festival, the Mark Thallender Festival, is returning to Christ Cathedral. And what a pleasure to have you on the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to hear one more piece, and this little fanfare was written, dedicated to you.
Yes.
And it was written by our own Brian Sawyers.
Yes, Brian wrote it for me when prior to the accident, and then after the accident, he rewrote it for one hand and 2 feet.
Did it get harder?
It got a little harder, yes.
Yes.
But I was in the parking lot of the Crystal Cathedral walking in, and we did not specifically put that piece in the bulletin because we wanted to surprise him. It was going to be the first piece in the prelude. And I had all my music in order for Sunday, and on top was Fanfare by Brian Sawyers. And he saw it, and he said, "Are you playing my piece on Sunday?"
Oh, isn't that great?
There goes the surprise.
Well, for those of you who do not know this name, I think everyone in Southern California in the organ world know Brian Sawyers, but Brian is the curator of the Hazel Wright organ, and so Brian will be so instrumental in putting that organ back in. He's a key worker with the Rafati Company who will be helping us get the organ back to shape. He's now working in the warehouses, spinning the pipes so that none have a little dent in the warehouse while we're waiting so patiently for Christ Cathedral to return. But Brian will have a very busy job. He's the curator of not only the Hazel Wright organ and the Fred Swan organ, but our carillon as well, our Villa Schuler carillon. So Brian's a very busy person on our campus and really all over Southern California. So how cool that he wrote you a piece.
Fabulous.
I didn't know that happened, but it's what a pleasure to have you. I know we're going to have you back many, many more times because we have to get you back in here and talk about more festivals coming up right
Excellent.
Here at
I would love to.
Cathedral. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Music from the Tower, and this is your host, John Romeri, having just had a great hour with our friend Mark Thallender. And we will be back next time, but in the meantime, please go out and hear some great music in live performance. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.